today on Real Radio.
I love what Jesus, for example, had to say about himself regarding who he is and who is this one who saves us. When we talk about salvation, you can't talk about the doctrine of salvation without talking about Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. We've been spending some time in this topic to deal with common questions related to the subject. Now, one that's often asked is, if I'm in a backslidden state, living a life of sin, if you will, at the moment of my death, will I lose my salvation? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, answering the question from the pages of Scripture. It's one of his lessons called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation.
If there's any theologians in the house, we're talking about, as you well know, the doctrine of soteriology. The science. What is the biblical science? The words in the Bible about salvation. That's what soteriology means. What is the word on salvation? Of course, found in the Bible. And this is very important. In a moment, we'll read John 6:35. And I'm going to confess to you guys that I have a tendency to get excited about what the Bible has to say. I think many of you think I run around the community yelling and screaming and jumping up and down about any and every topic. I don't. I'm pretty boring about any other topic. But when it comes to the Bible, I have a history and an enthusiasm, passion for the things of God. And people will ask me, how come you get so excited about God? Because he has forgiven me so much. That's why I get so excited. I'm very aware of what God has forgiven me of, and I'm very excited about that. But the truth be told, that these accusations or critiques about my passion for Jesus, they are in fact true. And I'll tell you the reason why. I love what Jesus, for example, had to say about himself regarding who he is, and who is this one who saves us. When we talk about salvation, you can't talk about the doctrine of salvation without talking about Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in John chapter 6, verse 35, and get your pen ready out. You can write down these other verses, but this is why I'm excited. I hope you are too. That in John 6, 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Isn't that good news? That's good news. John 8, 12. Jesus said to them again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I like that. That's exciting to me. Revelation 22, 13. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's Jesus Christ, by the way, applying and allocating to himself the very names of the God of the Old Testament. Did you know that? In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I am the God of the Old Testament. And he does it in one verse, Revelation 22, verse 13. John chapter 8, verse 58 says, Jesus speaking, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I'm eternal. That's the announcement. This is the God of your salvation. So listen, I assume this morning you're just as excited about Jesus as I am. This is the one, he's the one who has saved us. And he's mighty to save according to the Bible. And this is what the Bible says about Jesus at the lips or at the words of others. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. In whom, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Then the Bible tells us in these two verses I'll combine together in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 and Philippians 2, 10. Listen to this. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is awesome. And then finally this, before we, I say finally this before we get started. We haven't gotten started yet. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 says, Hebrews 7, 24 announces, but he, because he continues forever, some of you need to hear this, has an unchangeable priesthood. That's kind of cool, because it means whoever your priest is right now, if you don't have Jesus as your priest, you've got an earthly priest. It means someday he's going to drop dead. You got to go find another one. Jesus' priesthood is unchangeable. You don't have to go get another priest if you've got Jesus. Watch. Verse 25, therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always, forever, eternally lives to make intercession for them, for us. Oh my goodness, that's why my salvation is secure. Last Sunday, church, were you here last Sunday?
Yes.
Last Sunday, by the end of the services, this is what happened. Every service, two types of people came up to me exclusively. Number one, if you remember last week's service, number one, there were people weeping or almost weeping for joy because they had always been taught that their salvation was so precarious, it was like they were hanging on the side of a cliff and they could slip at any moment. And they had heard the truth. In fact, some people, I met six people who had driven quite far distance, who saw on my Facebook what I was going to be teaching on, and they drove because they were so desperate to find out if trusting in Jesus, believing in Jesus would really translate to their salvation. And they were filled with joy. And then there were several others who said, I don't believe any of this. I believe that I've got to roll up my sleeve and sweat it out and work out my salvation. I've got to earn God's favor. I don't care what you say. I've got to do it by works and I'm out of here. Wow. You know what? Don't be sad about that. Pray for such people, but know this. God's truth went out and the house was divided. You know what? It was divided because there were those who were Pharisees and concluded, Jesus died for my sins, but from here on out, I'll take it the rest of the way. And that is not biblically true. And then there are those of us, like the thief on the cross, that simply asked Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus saves us. And we talked about the validity of him being able to mightily save us and keep us all the way through to the end. My dear friends, remember last week, you do not save yourself, neither do you keep yourself saved. This is essential. The issue was, are you sure you're saved? Remember that? Are you sure you have a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ? So here we go. This is our fourth and final installment. Number four, you need to know all about your salvation. Number four, while we are waiting for him to return. We are waiting for Christ to return. So I want to begin this fourth and final argument in this series of our considering our salvation with a bit of an exhortation, and a bit of challenge. That is, throughout the Bible, there's a constant, listen, church, ever-present admonition found in the Bible for you and I to take our faith seriously, to be vigilant about it, and to be protective of it. You and I are to be adding to our faith, strengthening our faith, just as we're doing here by being here this morning. But our faith is to be translated into a godly example as believers. Listen, and we all need encouragement today about our fellowship with each other and with Jesus Christ. So today's going to be a little difficult. I'm going to ask you to pay very close attention because I've got almost two, as it were, points per point. So you need to listen. Why? It goes this way. While we wait for him to return, if we're Christians, we are very serious about Jesus Christ, listen, coming. And that either means to us Jesus Christ coming for the church now, or you and I, the moment we die, being ready to meet him. Y'all understand that? You might say this morning, well, I'm not quite sure if he's going to come back today. Doesn't matter. You could choke today. You could have a heart attack today. You could inadvertently walk through the hills and get burned in the fires today. My point is, you could die today. Are you ready to meet Christ? So we're going to look at some things that are going to answer a question, and at the same time, I pray and I trust teach as well. While we wait for him, number one, it's this. He's expecting us, mark it down, Jesus Christ is expecting us to be expecting him. Jesus Christ in the Bible says, you ought to be expecting me to come. In life or death, in rapture or rupture, you ought to be expecting me. You better be ready to meet me. And so again, if this had a subtitle, this particular point, it would be this. What happens to a Christian if he dies in a backslidden state? Remember, the whole issue is salvation, right? And one of the questions that you've asked over these months is, what happens to a Christian who dies in a backslidden condition? Number one, let's qualify the name or the term backslidden. What does it mean to be backslidden? The Bible teaches the word backslidden. It's first of all introduced to the nation of Israel. Jeremiah speaks to the people of Israel because they had loved God, and then their hearts had gotten cold for God. They began to entertain other gods. God tells them, you're backslidden. Dump all that stuff and get back to me and walk with me again and have your hearts be excited about me again. God says in the Old Testament, I am married to the backslider. Did you know that? Don't raise your hand right now, but are you a backslidden Christian? Okay, I mean, that's neat that you're honest, but don't be that honest right now. Are you a backslidden Christian? You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Can you remember at a time as a Christian that you were being used by God more, that you were excited about God more, that you were more yielded to God than you are today? If you have cooled off in that condition, you are backslidden. That's what it means. You're not advancing, you're going backwards in your Christian experience. So it is absolutely critical that you understand something. It is indigenous. You know what indigenous means, right? It's native. It is in the spiritual DNA of a Christian to draw close to God. And God calls us his children, and we are to call him Father. And this is not foreign to any one of us in this room, because number one, if you have a child, it is your child's natural indigenous desire for your child to be near you, right? Your child, without you telling them, they want to be near you. They miss you. When mom or dad come home from work, they're all excited about it, are they not? Why? Because they love you. And they want to be near you. Just as it is DNA in our child of this world, so it is in the spiritual DNA of the Christian to want to be near Abba Father. Are you with me? So listen, don't answer out loud. Do you want to be nearer to God? Do you want to draw closer to him? That is one of the spiritual DNA indicators of a Christian life. But what happens when someone dies in a backslidden condition? Do they lose their salvation? We talked about losing salvation last week. Do they lose it? Have they had salvation all their life and then they're backslidden and they die? Do they go to hell? What does the Bible say about that? Well, let's first of all argue it this way. And listen to what Jesus and the Bible both have to say about this regarding his returning for his own. That's what we'll talk about first. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says that we are also eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch, everybody. The Christian who's walking with God, serving the Lord, excited about God, is eagerly waiting for the Lord's return. Listen, the backslidden Christian is terrified about the Lord's return. They know he's coming. They know who he is. And in a weird way, because their hearts have gotten cold, but in a weird way, they still love him. They've just gotten their feet in the world. They're not hanging on to him. They might even be living in an aberrant lifestyle away from Jesus. But listen, here's the great thing. The Christian who is backslidden, listen, everybody, is the most miserable person on earth. And I'm happy to report that. If you say today you're a Christian and you're living in a sinful life and you think it's cool, you're not a Christian. And by the way, oh, I hate to ruin your day, but maybe not. Maybe I'm going to enjoy this. If you're a Christian today and you're not walking with Jesus, those of us who are walking with Jesus, we can tell.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We can tell. There's something about a person who truly knows the Lord and they're not walking with the Lord. Their light bulb is out. Number one, they have a light bulb. It's just out. The non-believer doesn't have a light bulb. When you look at somebody who knows and loves Jesus and you see them glowing and then 2 months later you bump into them and there's something wrong. You can't put your finger on it, but they're just not happy. You want to know why? The Bible says the way of the backslider is hard. Can someone say amen? Amen. The way of the backslider is horrible. You know God is real. You know he's got a better route for you to be living, but you're serving your own desires and you're in a place that you don't belong. It's just like Peter who denied Jesus. Remember, three times he denied Jesus. And in every account in the Gospels, was Peter happy? He was miserable. And then he broke down bawling his heart out. Remember that? He just cried and cried and cried. Why? Backslidden in heart. You may be backslidden in heart today. If you died today, would you go to hell? You feel like you're going to go to hell. Now listen, everybody. You need to be mature about what I'm going to say. You could be a Christian living in a backslidden state right now and die today and wind up going directly to heaven. You're not going to go to hell. And what you are not hearing from me is, well, then go send up a storm. You're going to go to heaven anyway. That's not what I'm saying at all. But let me tell you something right now. And I don't know how far we'll get on the rest of this Bible study with what I'm about to say right now. There are people, and I know some of them. Some of these guys are friends of mine. They will say things like this. I'll give you an example. If the Christians living in sexual immorality when the rapture happens or when they drop dead, they don't go to heaven. They go either straight to the tribulation period or they go to hell. Why? If they're living in sexual immorality, that's where the... Okay, let's take your argument at face value then. That also means then that if they are right on children of God driving down the freeway and Mickey Mouse cuts them off on the freeway and they have a mean thought for 30 seconds and the rapture happens in that moment? Or they get hit by Mickey Mouse and get killed? I guess they go to hell, don't they? Watch, next time somebody lays that trip on you, you lay that on them. So what you're really saying is there's a type of sin that God thinks is really sin and then not so sin? No, I'm not saying that. Oh, yeah, you are. Because listen, God doesn't grade on a curve. Oh, dude, I wanted you here, but you just crossed the line. It's too bad. No. A white lie, which is man-made, a lie is a lie. A lie and sexual immorality, same to God. Same to God, it's sin. My argument is this. If you are a born-again, truly saved Christian, if you truly have salvation, and you die in a backslidden state, you go to heaven. Very clearly. If you think otherwise, then your works, like last week's message, keeps you saved. You got to figure this out. I'm not giving a license to sin. I'm telling you the truth. But you're not hearing the whole story. The Bible makes it very clear that when you and I stand before the judgment of Christ Jesus, we will be judged based upon our life lived for Christ. Don't think for a moment, Christian, that if you're living in a sinful life and you are truly a Christian, number one, remember, you're miserable. But if you died in that condition, you're not off the hook. You stand before Jesus having to give an account for all of the wasted opportunities and the carnality of your life. And the Bible says you lose those rewards or those acknowledgments that Christ wanted you to have. He had a certain life for you to live, and you short-circuited that life. Are you in heaven? Yep. Are you walking around with your tail end on fire? Your feathers are burned? Yeah. Look at that guy. He barely made it. The Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 2, 1 John 3, verse 2, it says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. In other words, what are you going to look like? Am I going to look like me later? It's funny, because the younger you are, everybody wants to look like themselves in heaven. The older you get, it's like, God, please. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And here it is, 1 John 3:3, everyone who has this hope, that's the coming of Christ for us, purifies himself just as Christ is pure. What does that mean? Because Jesus is coming back, or you could drop dead today, we want to walk with Jesus now. Why? Because we are his people. We want to meet him and present to him a life lived for his glory. That's our motive. That's what we want to do. That's how we want to finish this. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Luke 12, 35. Jesus said, let your waist be girded with your lamps burning. It's all in the context of him coming back. So let your waist be girded. That's with truth, the Bible knowledge. and your lamps burning. That's the Holy Spirit. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. Listen, are you waiting for your master? Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom when the master, when he comes, will find them, what's the word? Watching. Are you watching? Verse 40, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Isn't that awesome? This is indigenous to the child of God waiting for the coming of the Lord. You want to be ready, do you not? Listen, I'm going to go this far. I believe the backslidden Christian in some ways wants Jesus to come back in a way to deliver him or her from the life that they are living in that they know is wrong. But this bad decision making, this loving her or him or it or them has gotten more attention and affection than loving and obeying Jesus. And he loves us. He's the ultimate parent. He'll let us continue like that for a while. And then he'll either do one of two things, ladies and gentlemen, one of two things. He will either use the circumstances that you allow into your life, that's very critical, by your prodigal son or daughter living, the world will send difficult things into your life. That's what the world does. It's going to shoot all these things at you, and it's going to destroy your life. God will use those things. He doesn't send them. He uses them. You open the door and let in all the garbage, but God will use the garbage you let in to get your attention. And you'll get back on course with him. Or, the Bible teaches us that somebody who's a believer and will not turn, God will take their life. He'll shorten their life. Physical life here on earth. Did you know that's in the Bible? I'll read it to you in a moment. But what if a Christian then dies in that backslidden condition? Maybe you're still struggling with my introduction this morning about that. Really? If a person's backslidden from Christ and he comes, are they die in that condition, they're going to go to heaven anyway? Well, I tell you what, why don't you judge, okay? Mark in your Bible or turn there, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 5, 1. And by the way, once you get there, I want you to write down these verses for your homework today. I want you to read Romans 8 later today, 1 Corinthians 15 later today, John 3, and Revelation chapter 2 and 3. But right now we're looking at 1 Corinthians 5, 1. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? This is first time I read this in the Bible, I thought this was ridiculous. I read this and I thought, you gotta be kidding me. By the way, when I first read in the Bible, I was bound up in legalism, and this angered me. Because I thought, how could God allow this? Only the super saints go to heaven. Oh, these nincompoops, they go to hell. Then I found out heaven's going to be filled with a bunch of nincompoops.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's one in a mini-series that speaks specifically to a believer who is in a backslidden state. You Need to Know All About Your Salvation is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you haven't signed up for Pastor Jack's weekly devotionals, I encourage you to do just that. They're called Real Life Devotions, and you get a new Real Life Devotion in your inbox every Monday. Subscribers to Real Life Devotions really enjoy and appreciate them, and they're letting Pastor Jack know, like this one. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for being such a good and faithful servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've grown so much from the lessons you share in your real-life devotions, and it is God's word I hear through you. May you and your family continue in God's grace. And that one comes from Candace. Thanks for taking the time to send that in, Candace. We appreciate it. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's real-life devotions. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you need our phone number, here it is, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll be right back. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.